Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast for August 9th, 2022. If you want to get a hold of me, you'd like to interact, you would like to engage with me, you can do that easily. A couple of ways you can do that. You can text or call. 407-270-3044. And I read a lot of the chat room stuff. I had somebody email me and they were like, do you ever feel ridiculous when you have to say some of the people's usernames in the chat room? What up, K-Hill? Cahill, how are you tonight? Cahill says, what's up, buddy? Iggy T, Iggy T's in the house. Hello. I got a Canadian for a guest tonight. 7:30, Dr. Christine. I have a feeling this is going to be one of those hidden gem interviews I do. Bubba Lost Everything says, hi, Tuttle. What up, man? How are you? Bubba Lost Everything. I got a couple of stories I wanted to get into right before. Oh, I'll get to that here in a few minutes. My mom goes to the store. Now, has anybody heard of this brand? Well, see, now you can't see. It says Chi-Wees. You see Chi-Wees. The lettering's black. That's why it's showing up like that. Has anybody ever eaten these? They're barbecue cheese curls. And I've been eating really, really good, but I'm a sucker for knockoff brand items. Because I grew up with knockoff brand items. Chi-Wees. And it's got like a mouse on it. Is this, ghetto brand? Can I even say that word anymore? Is it secondhand type stuff? Is it knockoffs? That's the word that I'm looking for. Knockoffs. So, or is this a name brand? Chi-Wees. I don't know, Cahill. I don't know. I know that I'm making pretty good money right now. And, I put money in my mom's bank account. She already gets her Social Security and stuff. But, like, it all goes into the same thing. No, I'm not rich, bitch. But I know, like, we can afford to buy name brand stuff. And Bubba Lost Everything. Like, I as soon as it came out of my mouth, calling shit ghetto, I forgot about. You just got to be careful about everything. You do. I don't want to get canceled. I've worked way too hard to get to the point that I'm at right now, and it's not even that big of a high point, but I've built a general audience that checks out the show every single night and stuff. I don't want to lose that. That would absolutely suck, man. I don't know how I want to feel about this story. And a lot of you guys probably don't even give a fuck. But you guys have always heard me talk about growing up in the Leon Springs. De Leon Springs. And I when I hear these newscasters, these anchors say the word, I'm like, am I not even pronouncing the hometown I grew up in? So what's happening in the city of De Leon Springs, that they got one of the nicest. I sounded so redneck when I said that. They got one of the nicest springs you're going to find in Central Florida. It ain't a magnitude 1 spring, but it is a real strong magnitude 2 spring. This is where I spent every summer day. From 7th to 12th grade. This is where I live. This is the place that I spent more time. Matter of fact, my best friend Derek lived right across the street from De Leon Springs. I know I keep saying it over and over because now I was second guessing on how they pronounce my birthplace city. But there is a place there called the Old Spanish Sugar Mill. And it's like a white trash, redneck hibachi. You guys have all been to the hibachi grill where they do all the tricks. They throw the shrimp on top of their hat. They throw a shrimp into your mouth. And the reason I call it a like redneck, white trash hibachi is that you have a hibachi style grill in the middle of your table. And you order all the ingredients. Like, do you want bacon and eggs? They'll bring bacon and eggs out to your table. You want pancakes? What would you like in your pancakes? Pecans? You want pecans? Blueberries? Let us know. Because they will mix the batter for you. And they bring it out. And you guys cook it yourself. They don't bring out an Asian man at the Old Spanish Sugar Mill in De Leon Springs and do all the tricks. No, they're not doing the onion volcano trick. It's just eggs, bacon, sausage, and pancakes. And it's amazing. This place holds so much nostalgia for me. And they have a little concession stand on. So if you're facing it, it's on the left-hand side here. Let me get into this story. And this is just a case of dirty games and local politics.
But shutting its doors after 61 years.
The old
61 years. The same place has been in this old Spanish sugar mill longer than I've been alive.
Spanish sugar mill in De Leon Springs has been a.
Now he said De Leon. A lot of people that grew up in De Leon, it was De Leon, not De Leon. Maybe we're just so dumb growing up in De Leon Springs that we didn't even know how to pronounce the city we grew up in.
Staple for tourists and locals. And now the owner says the state has decided not to renew its contract. News 6's Mark Lehman spoke with him about the future of the restaurant.
Following yesterday's announcement, things have been very busy, which is the case just about every day at this popular restaurant. Well, today we talked to the owner about what led to the state's disappointing decision and what's next. For more than 60 years.
I mean, this gives me all the feels, people. It does. And this is my hometown. This is the place I had some of my first real life experiences at. I mean, there used to be, I mean, still a lot of people, they got one of the oldest trees in Central Florida there. It's called Old Missoula. Old Missoula is the name of the tree. This tree is almost 1,000 years old. And this thing is so impressive. You can go and check it out there. And then the springs itself. It's absolutely amazing. And if you're ever in the Volusia County area, even if you don't want to swim and stuff, I really, really think that you guys would love to check this out. Hold on. What is, hold on. Give me a second, guys. Cahill 6469 says, no, you have people reporting the news that never lived down here. They're all implants. Transplants, implants. Thank God I have insurance now. I can go get my glasses fixed. But yeah, this is very depressing news for me, people. It is.
The old Spanish Sugar Mill restaurant has brought in visitors from around the world to De Leon Springs State Park.
We had heard that you know, come and cook your own pancakes, so we've been looking forward to it all summer.
And I've heard a lot of people bitch and complain about that. Why would I want to go to a breakfast place where I got to cook my own food? Because it's different. It's different. Your kids, you guys are all around the table. You can basically, you're not going to be able to complain on how the food is cooked. Because you're doing it yourself. It's a different experience. And this building, when people look at it, they would think, oh, well, man, they did a really great job recreating an old site. No, this is all old, original building, people. It is.
But the tabletop griddles won't be hot for much longer after the restaurant announced it will be serving.
Wait, hold on. Look at this. Hold on. Guys. Now, new roof has been put on and stuff. But for the most part, that whole entire building you're looking at right there, the old Spanish Sugar Mill, and there's like a little, there is an amazing clear creek that runs right underneath of that paddle there. And it goes out to the St. John's River. Some of the best bass fishing you're ever going to have in that area. And something else is going to be in the building. This is why I said that this has all become political, because it has become political because somebody else, per se, quotation marks, bid higher than the current leaser. So basically, you're going to shut down a business after 61 years. I mean, there's a lot of heritage that goes on with this place. Why would you even take other bids? I get it. So, let's imagine this. This is just greed on these politicians' side that they decided to do this. Why would you kick out somebody after 61 years. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. And in De Leon Springs, especially the people that come there, they don't like change. They do not like change. And they're good. As far as I know, they cannot tear this building down and put something else up. That would be one of the dumbest mistakes that anybody could ever make. Look at that. I mean, come on, people. That is a beautiful building that you get to go into. You get to cook your own pancakes, sausage, bacon, eggs. This is just so strange to me. And maybe I'm a little bit more passionate about this story because I grew up. This is my hometown. And this place is going to be gone. Something else is going to be there, but I just hope they don't bastardize it.
After the restaurant announced it will be serving its last batch of pancake batter September 11th.
That's disappointing, but glad we got the opportunity to come and try it out.
It's heartbreaking, you know, when you see something that's been here so long.
Owner John Michalos says, as is the case every 5 years, he applied to renew his contract with the state, but this time he was outbid by another concessionaire.
I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about that. This guy has been there for this long. 61 years. I don't know if this guy has owned it the whole time, but 61 years, it's been the same theme for that long. I don't understand why you would actually try to find somebody else. I mean, it's been working for 61 years. Old Spanish Sugar Mill. And you guys know Ponce. De Leon Springs is named after Ponce de Leon. And everybody knows what he was looking for. He was looking for the Fountain of Youth. And people go there all the time. And during the summertime, there was nothing more refreshing than being in that spring. The water stays the same temperature all year long. And a lot of people are like, oh, why would you even go to the springs during the wintertime? If I'm being honest, I mean, yeah, you're going to be cold when you get out of the water. But during the wintertime here in Florida, I know it doesn't get that cold. The water is warmer than the air temperature. I mean, it's a very beautiful place, and this is bad.
All about the highest bidder. So it's really a money thing, and you know, we've been doing this for a very long time, and it's just going to change hands at this point.
Which means Michalos will have to clear out everything from the old Spanish sugar mill and close up shop by the end of September.
Come on, people. I mean, did you just see that video shot? Look at the inside of this place. It's like a more realistic. It's what Cracker Barrel tries to be. This is all that, I mean, this place has been here forever since Ponce de Leon was trying to find the Fountain of Youth. This is how long this place has been there.
At the end of September.
We've created this. This is so unique to us. What the new concessionaire does, I really don't know.
Michalos says a lot of questions remain about what will come in the restaurant's place, only that the concessionaire is obligated to provide a unique dining experience. Meanwhile, he says he's focused on his employees and customers, with the doors here remaining open for only a few more weeks.
It's going to be a pretty intense few weeks until we close. But there's only one old Spanish sugar mill.
In De Leon Springs, Mark Lehman, Getting Results, News 6.
Well, there's still a little bit of hope, right?
Yeah, yeah. That place is so good, though.
It is.
I mean, Justin Warmoth, he's a lifelong vulture says it'll be a Chick-fil-A now. You know what? I wouldn't hate it. I would not. Let's be honest. If they put a Chick-fil-A in that place, but they kept it inside the sugar mill, like they could not tear the building down, but they made a Chick-fil-A. Yeah, you know what? I think it'd be pretty fucking badass to have a Chick-fil-A inside the old Spanish sugar mill. Let's be honest, you know Cracker Barrel does not fuck around. They don't fuck around. You would have the best service there. And I'm not trying to take shots at the town that I grew up in, but I don't think they got enough people in that city that would be even qualified to work at a Chick-fil-A. Man, I went back there recently. Ugh. It made me really, really sad. The Leon Springs has not progressed at all since I graduated out of high school. De Leon Springs, matter of fact, probably has regressed. Here, I'll tell you this. All growing up, never even had a caution light in the whole city of De Leon Springs. Not one electronical light in De Leon Springs. No caution light, no blinking caution light or blinking red light. Didn't even have that. No, nothing. We didn't even have a high school, guys. Like, if you grew up in De Leon Springs, you had to take like a half hour to 45 minute bus ride to get to school every single day. I love it. I love growing up there. I love growing up in De Leon Springs. But like it was not the easiest place to grow up in. There was not a lot of people there. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but everybody thinks the South, white people is the biggest demographic in that town. No, it's not. In De Leon Springs, matter of fact, Caucasians might even be not the majority. I mean, because I packed fern, I cut fern, so I had no problem with it. It was great. You would think that I would have learned a little bit more Spanish than what I did while I was there. I can understand it. Really can't speak it that much. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm tired. I'm kind of being balanced. I'm not marking out to De Leon Springs. I'm saying that there's some bad things about it as well too. De Leon Springs is actually in Volusia County. And look, I got my Volusia County pride. Born and raised, spent most of my life in Volusia County. What up, Jamie O? Most of my life has been in Volusia County. But man, oh man. Volusia County is getting a little scary. It really, really is. I mean, I went to Daytona not this past weekend, but the weekend before that. Colton came over. We went to Daytona. And it's gotten bad. Gotten really, really bad. There was a guy that stabbed and killed somebody on US 1, Ridgewood. The reason I bring up that street, because here in Edgewater, where I live at, there was a murder suicide at a AA meeting. And this was like a whole love triangle type thing. Guy goes into the AA meeting, shoots his ex-girlfriend's current boyfriend, and then takes her hostage. And then we got three bodies. We got three bodies now. I don't count the person that took the hostages and stuff. But this is a wild ass story. And I'm telling you right now, I will make sure that I know where all my firearms are in the house now. Because, I mean, Volusia County is getting a little dangerous.
Police on that hostage situation that ended with three people dead.
Police are investigating this as a double murder-suicide. West 2's Claire Metz just spoke with police.
Claire,
what are we learning about the gunman?
Claire. See, that's all she does is Volusia County stories.
Men.
Appears that this was a domestic triangle that took a very horrific and tragic turn. Police.
Can you hear these cicadas in the background? Yeah, that right there is like true Florida. When you're watching the news, you can hear the cicadas in the background or the grasshoppers, whatever they are.
Just shared with us that the suspect was the ex-boyfriend of the female victim, and the female victim was apparently in a new relationship with the male victim. And the police chief shared these pictures. Take a look right now.
All right, guys. Quentin Hunter. I don't know. What's up with that last name? What's up with that last name? Hunter. Seems like he was looking for trouble, but Quentin Hunter. Gotta find out if this is a relative of my friend or whatever, but I'll table that for now. But look at this tattoo that this guy has on his face. It's like claw marks, right? It's claw marks. All down his eye, right over his eye. Does he got a goatee tied up like that famous wrestling manager, Lou Alfredo, I think? He does. I mean, this guy, you knew, like, he, if anybody was going to take hostages at an AA meeting, oh, this guy, suspect number one, right?
This is the suspect, 49-year-old Quentin Hunter, who police say used the nickname of Rags.
So Rags was dating old girl Erica Hoffman, and Ian Greenfield is now dating her. Now, all right, both legal, both above the age of 18, but does anybody see a problem? The age discrepancy on this one? This Ian Greenfield guy, at the very least, and I'm being kind when I say this, 20 years older than Erica Hoffman. I don't know, like, was this guy grooming Erica? I don't know if they say Erica, what her age was, but this is just like a little weird.
And these are the victims, 33-year-old Erica Hoffman and 59-year-old Ian Greenfield. Police say the victims were...
Hold on. I had to hear that.
And these are the victims, 33-year-old Erica Hoffman and 59-year-old Ian...
I was off. It's more than 20 years. I don't know. That really seems a little strange.
Ian Greenfield. Police say... the victims were attending a Narcotics Anonymous meeting last night in the 500 block.
So Narcotics Anonymous.
Block of North Ridgewood Avenue when suspect Hunter walked in and once inside brandished a gun. Police say Hunter shot Mr. Greenfield at close range, then hit the female victim, his ex, Ms. Hoffman, with the gun and took her hostage.
We attempted contact with Mr. Hunter, which was unsuccessful. We breached the two rear doors utilizing our SWAT team, entered the building and found three deceased with gunshot wounds.
Man, those cicadas are going wild out there.
20 other people at that meeting at the time. All of them escaped unharmed. Police say this
Hold on, let me, not connected. Just waiting. It says device not connected.
Violence was not random, but apparently the result of anger and jealousy. Now, police tell us the suspect, Hunter, went on Facebook Live while he was in.
That's the crazy thing. He ended up killing the guy immediately, then hopped on Facebook Live, and then he ended up killing the woman and then himself. And the video is, it doesn't show any of the violence. It's just him staring into the camera with his tattooed claw marks on his face. So, yeah, it's a weird video. Let me see here. I mean, Dr. Christine, you need to hook up your camera and microphone because I can't fit you in the room. It says devices not connected. So, do you want to try to disconnect Dr. Christine? Dr. Christine Sawyer? Because I can't bring you on until you hook up your microphone and camera.
Inside that building at the Narcotics Anonymous meeting, they believe it was after he shot and killed the first victim, but before he harmed the female victim. And we have actually seen that post where he just stares at the camera and breathes in a very odd way, never says anything. It's just a few seconds long. Now, right now, police are talking to witnesses who were there at the time and ran out. And they're also, of course, reviewing all of the social media, victims and the suspect's phones and more. Now, we asked if either the suspect or the victims were local. Police say they're still investigating all that.
Oh, you know that
some
guy's
have
local.
An address on the west side of the county. There are out-of-state addresses, so that still is all part of the investigation. They do tell us that suspect Hunter has an extensive criminal record.
Oh, you are you kidding?
We're live in Edgewater, Volusia County, Claire Metz, West 2 News.
All right.
Hold on.
I gotta call this person. You're right, Cahill. Another mental illness person. Here, hold on. I'm gonna call my guest here because for some reason it is not working. Yeah, Claire Metz. Thank you, Jace, or Fish on Jay. You're right. Claire's like, fuck it. I've been in the business long enough. I don't need to knock on the doors just to make myself look like I'm doing my job. No. They're not going to talk to me. Hold on. So, yeah, I'm trying to call my guests because they don't have their camera or mic set up. Because I can't bring them on until they decide to do that.
Hi, you reached Dr. Christine Sauer. Thanks for calling.
Dr. Christine,
right,
come on. Oh, God. What the fuck, man? Hold on. Let me remove Claire there. See you, Claire Bear. Dr. Christine, I cannot bring you into the room until you turn on your camera and stuff. Dr. Christine, are you, This, all right. Not going to get pissed off. Not going to get upset. It is what it is. But, man, I just don't get it sometimes. I just do not get it. This is a story that I was absolutely shocked by. And there, I know exactly what some politicians are going to do. And now I don't even know. I don't know if they even say that these two are a gay couple. But these two men adopted some kids. And the kids that they adopted, they sexually molested. What the fuck is wrong with people? And I know that some politicians, especially the right or the conservatives, are all going to say, see, we told you we can't let gays adopt children. And I think that's bullshit. I think that is the biggest bullshit statement you could think of. Because guess what? Gay men have been labeled as pedophiles and stuff. You know that they have. Hold on, let me see. Let me see if this is it. There we go. Hey, Dr. Christine, how are you?
Hi, Daddle. I'm a little stressed because I'm trying now for over half an hour to solve a problem with StreamYard support that they don't be able to seem to solve.
And we got it working, Dr. Christine.
We got it working. So here I am on my phone. Yes. That's the only device that works, but better than nothing.
I love your accent, by the way.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
So definitely, we'll get into that. You're originally from Germany, correct?
That's right.
What part of Germany?
I was born in Ulm. That's between Stuttgart and München in southwest Germany.
Whoa. Okay, come on. Let's back up here a little bit, Dr. Christine. I got a lot of southerner friends here in the United States. So kind of like slow it down a little bit whenever you're saying the cities and stuff, because I mean, it's, those are some long names.
Yeah. Ulm is in southern Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And Munich is better known. So there's
Munich, like the city Munich, right? Like M-U-N-I-C-H. Like Munich.
That's right.
And Dr. Christine, we're going to get into the interview, but I have an ADHD brain. I'm all over the place sometimes. So were you in Germany like during the Berlin Wall type stuff? Because I remember growing up, that was like one of the first news stories I remember as a child.
I absolutely was. It was in 1989. I'll never forget it. We were practicing in close to Braunschweig, which is close to the wall. My mother is actually born in Berlin, so we were very familiar with the wall. It was born in the year when I was born, 1961, and it fell 1989.
Mm-hmm. How big of a deal was that? Was that a big deal? You know, I know like it was a big thing for the Americans and stuff. It symbolized things. But for the Germans that were there, a lot of families were cut off and stuff, right? Like,
it was a very big deal. When the wall was built, they put a barbed wire up, and some people made it across. Most people weren't. And people were killed trying to get out of the former East Germany into West Germany. They had the border guards, they patrolled it. There was a big, big border strip. We were often in school, we went there to look at it and say, oh my God, that's a hallmark of a totalitarian system to imprison their people and force them to do things that they do not want to do and keep them hostage and don't allow them to travel.
Yeah. Dr. Christine, before we get into the interview, I, uh, I like to give my guests before we get into the interview the floor to kind of just introduce themselves, tell people about themselves, and how they can check out any of the content that you're putting out.
All right. Thanks, Tuttle. Well, my name is Dr. Christine Sauer, and I live in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada for 28 years. And I had a long story, was a physician and a naturopath in Germany. And when I came to Canada, I was at the lowest point of my life. I nearly committed suicide and fell into a deep depression that I had to get myself out, which what I now help my clients with. And I call that Recover Your Sparkle. And it's growth, really personal growth in five dimensions.
I wanted to ask. So the because I've been through a lot of this stuff, and we'll get into it. Like I've dealt with childhood trauma in my early years. I've dealt with depression. I did have an attempted suicide. I was self-medicating while I was on regular medication as well too, and I did get Baker acted, and that was the wake up call for me, like, because I you know, working in radio and stuff, Dr. Christine, I'm an observer. I like to talk to people. I just love to hear people's stories and stuff, and that's a lot of what I did because I was Baker actor for 11 days, and I met a lot of people. I found out a lot. I could tell you anything about everybody I was there with, and I saw, like, the common denominator. It was like everybody that was in there had some type of trauma that they were self-medicating. They were on medication as well, too, and the alcohol and all that stuff on top of that. It just was a bad mixture.
Absolutely. I like that you say it's self-medication. That's exactly what it is when somebody's addicted.
Because, you know, I know, have you ever been to America? Like, have you ever been to the South?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, you know, there's a stigma here in the South, especially for Southern men, you know, growing up. It's getting better. It is. But, like, you couldn't go to your parents. You couldn't tell them, hey, I'm depressed. I'm feeling bad. It's not that they didn't care. They just didn't understand it. And it was like, what do you got to be depressed about? Why? What do you got to be worried about? You're real good right now, you know?
You know, it's interesting that you think that's a stigma in the South. I see that all over the world. And even when I grew up in the 60s and 70s, I could not speak with my parents about it. I was depressed when I was 14, wanted to kill myself. I could not talk to anybody about it.
Mm.
I tried to seek help when I went to university, to medical school. That didn't go well because a psychologist that was a scientist was one that didn't talk. So he expected me to talk, but I couldn't at that point. And it was pretty miserable. It just put me further in depression. So I understand where those people come from. And I was here in the mental hospital in Halifax for 4 weeks. You have to be pretty bad to put you in the hospital that long.
Yeah, I was in there for 11 days. And I'm the type of person that needs stimulation. Like, I need that. And there was none of that there. There was one window that you could look out of the building. You could see the outside, but there was no clocks. Didn't get to see a clock. You know, the food was bland. They're like, you can only sleep so much in one of those places.
Yeah. And when you spend the night in the QT room, because I tried to kill myself in the hospital,
you really did know
what you feel like in prison.
Yeah. Was it like solitary confinement? Like, were you, it was just basically nothing? Because I remember, like, I had my friend Colton that came. He brought me some clean clothes, but all the basketball shorts, they cut the nylon out of it. Like, you know, the little rope. So it was weird. Like, even your blanket and everything was, like, nailed down to your bed so you can take it off.
Absolutely. And actually, in the QT room, all there was a mattress, and I wore a pair of underpants and a hospital gown. That was it. Mm. Nothing else than a hole in the floor.
Oh, wait. The hole in the floor is where you would use the bathroom and stuff?
Exactly.
Are you kidding me? Wait. They don't even give you a toilet? It's just a hole, like, in the ground?
No, I think they were concerned that people would bang their heads on it.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, you can get real creative, but, I mean, that would, I don't know, like, I mean, you could do it, maybe. I would be more afraid that you could take the porcelain and break that in half and make a jagged edge and maybe cut yourself with it. Because, I mean...
Well, it wouldn't be porcelain, it would be like in jail and
like metal. Yeah. I mean, you would have to be very committed to bang your head. I think it would knock yourself out, but... I mean, it was an eye-opening experience, and I've not been drinking. I ended up getting off of all the mood-stabilizing drugs because I didn't realize that they absolutely killed my sex drive, Dr. Christine. I'm not trying to be, but it just made me like I didn't care. It sucked, and I didn't know it. I thought I was just being responsible, concentrating on work and stuff, and no, it was the medication.
So many people report that, and there are so many other side effects, and now that I learned all about neuroscience, the brain, and mental health by my association with Dr. Amen and Dr. Joseph McLendon, I know that antidepressants and especially antipsychotics lower the prefrontal cortex, and that is the most human area where our judgment, forethought, and intellect sits. So it really makes you a half a zombie.
I was on risperidol, and I was on Zoloft as well, too. There was another one I was on for a while, but I noticed when I was on it, like, I was in the middle. I really didn't get to experience true happiness. And I wasn't really that sad. But after I got off the drugs and everything, it was like, you know what? I'll take some of the bad days to be able to experience really good days, you know? And that was kind of an eye-opening thing.
You know, I totally hear you. And I call it, I was existing, but not thriving. And I described that on my website. My website, by the way, is docchristine.com. On the About page, I have videos about the story. And I describe the experience in the hospital in very detail. And I also talk about our current dog, who is anxious. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, no, I mean, I mean, Dr. Christine, I will talk about this. Like, you had reached out to me through email. You were like, did you really listen to some of my shows, or was that?
I actually did.
Okay.
I have my own podcast, and I stumbled across the guest that we both had. So I said, Who was it? Oh my goodness. I can tell you.
What were they talking about?
They were talking about basketball and baseball and trauma. And it was a young black man, a wonderful young black man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I know who you're talking about. I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Yeah. And I listened to him on your podcast, and I listened to a few others. And I said, The Daily Tuttle. Now, isn't that funny? I want to be on his show. So I reached out to you.
And I think I emailed you back the same day and stuff. I was like, hey, can you come on tonight? And you're like, next week would be better for me and stuff. Because I was like, oh, cool. I always love finding this out. So I ended up watching, because I'm getting back into therapy now. I don't want to see a psychiatrist, because I always feel like they're going to try to pit me on medication. I will say the only medication I'm still on is my Adderall. I take 15 milligrams in the morning, 15 milligrams at lunch. And it's just, I just have one of those brains that I can't stay focused sometimes. Like, I'm thinking about all types of ideas. And that's the only one that I've been on. I know eventually I'm going to have to get off of it. But it does help me. But I've been seeing a therapist now. I've been talking to a therapist because I haven't had insurance. I just started working this job and stuff. And now I have health insurance. So I thought it'd be a good idea to start talking to a therapist again. And he recommended this video. It was a TED Talk. And I forget the name. It was a African-American woman. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. But it was talking about how childhood trauma affects a person through their whole entire lifetime, physically and mentally. Physically, they said that they've done studies where it could be in between 5 and 10 years off of somebody's life expectancy that went through bad childhood trauma and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Childhood trauma can affect people the whole life if they don't find the right way to work through it. And I really feel, and I talk about that a lot, the 5 dimensions of mental health need all to be addressed. And psychiatric medications are a band-aid, but not the final solution. And I worked and learned from many, many psychiatrists that actually are functional. And it's funny, one of the psychiatrists I love the most, David Burns, he wrote the book Feeling Good, I recommend it. And they actually said he hasn't prescribed antidepressants for 30 years of his psychiatrist life. He feels they're not necessary. I love that. I myself took myself against the advice of my psychiatrist of all medication.
What were you? Can I ask? Like, how many different things did you have you on?
I was on Seroquel. I was on Risperdal. I was on Zoloft, and it was not fun.
What you
I
know?
Wasn't feeling good.
You know, whenever I got off of it. One of the big withdrawal symptoms I had was, and then come to find out it was the Zoloft, you would get those like brain like zaps. Like it would be like, you know, like if you moved your head too quickly, it would be like you would get an electrical shock in your head and stuff.
No, I hear you. I actually had more problems with the akathisia, that's restlessness of the legs from the antipsychotics.
I had that so bad. Like, I would get cramped in my leg because I live in Florida. It's humid as hell. Like, I would get cramped in my legs because I'd just be constantly moving my legs and stuff. My mom would have, because we were living in an RV for a little bit. She was like, you're rocking the whole damn trailer because of your leg, restless legs.
And I can recommend one book for people that want to get off. It's by Dr. Peter Bragan, Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal. And I myself took 2 years to get off all my drugs.
Did you have to wean? Did you wean lower dosages and stuff?
Yeah, one after the other, not all at once. Started. I was on clonazepam first, so I took that first. And after that was gone, then I went to the antipsychotics and then the antidepressant last. And after 2 years, I was off of all and had instead a series of supplements. Mm. And now I'm symptom free. I'm happy. I'm fine. And I don't know. I have no more brain fog and I feel better than ever.
I like a dumbass. I went off of them cold turkey. Like, I know I should not have done it. I know it was only those two at the time, but man, I felt like death. Mm-hmm. It was bad.
That is tough. They have bad withdrawals. And I know my psychiatrist took me off them before and just cold turkey because he didn't know. Most psychiatrists don't know how to do that. And I felt miserable. And his comments was, you see, you need them.
No. But that's the thing about it is a lot of those drugs you take, like the Risperdal, the Zoloft, it takes a while. I've noticed with drugs, it takes a while to get into your system and start acting correctly are the ones that the withdrawal lasts longer because it's almost like you got to go through the same amount of time to get it out of your system as you did putting it into your system?
You know, they change your brain, and the brain has to be changed back, and it takes time.
How much, I've been reading a lot of stories about people's mental health is related to their gut health. Have you read anything about that?
Yes, actually, I studied with a few other doctors, integrative medicine became a gastrointestinal disease specialist too, because all my clients that have mental health issues have gut health issues.
Is that anxiety though? But is that just a side effect of...
It's a gut-brain axis. The gut produces the most serotonin. So when your gut flora doesn't work well, your serotonin level in the brain is bad. And there's one really good test that I do. It's actually a urine test, that the organic acid test. And that helps a lot to find out and pinpoint what's really going on in gut health and in your brain metabolism. I love that.
Do you suggest, I don't know, like, I know... Probiotics, has there been any study, people that are getting the good bacteria in their intestines and stuff, are they more happy than depressed? I mean,
there have been very good studies that certain supplements help mental health because they also help brain health. And actually, Dr. Daniel Amen was groundbreaking in that area. And I myself put all my clients on a targeted supplement plan. And I call that the nutrient orchestra, because you have to coordinate it with their nutrition.
What are those? I'm not saying like you're telling people they should go talk to their physicians or whoever they're seeing. But what are some of the supplements that people, it benefits them with their mental health?
That's a very good question, and it really it depends on the individual. But generally speaking, for anybody, a really good and appropriately dosed multivitamin, mineral, magnesium, B-complex, omega-3s, probiotics, and if needed, amino acids, enzymes, and other fats. Great effects.
How much... Because I always notice when I get outside, I'm in nature, or I'm in the sun. Mm-hmm. What about vitamin D? You know, vitamin D you get from the sun, does that benefit mental health at all?
Absolutely. Vitamin D is a hormone. It's crucial for everything. And many people are cholesterol deprived. They either take cholesterol lowering pills that automatically also lowers vitamin D. So a vitamin D level is essential, and it has to be in an optimal range.
What about diet, though? You know, somebody that eats a lot of junk food or food that has preservatives in it. Is that related to, you know, better mental health as well, too?
Well, the opposite. If you eat a lot of junk food, your mental health goes down.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, that's what I was asking. Like, does it matter? Does that matter?
I figured that you were thinking that. It's actually proven that if you eat a lot of vegetables and fruits, after 24 hours, you already feel better. Mm-hmm. There have been studies to that effect. And I always feel it has to be going together. For myself, what happened is I started with supplements because I just couldn't bring it over me to eat healthy right away. I had no energy. I couldn't get out of bed. So how could I eat better? So I started taking supplements, and then I had the energy, and then I started cooking. And then actually I had so much energy that I wrote my first book, Eating for Vibrant Health and Explosive Energy, where I outlined it.
What about water? You know, water is something that people take, for granted. They like, oh, I'm drinking other stuff. It's got water in it. But, you know, when I got in my 30s, I got on the water kick. I was drinking water, as much as I can. I try. My goal is a gallon a day, which I try to do, which I know is, but I do everything overboard anyways. But
yeah,
I mean,
it's a little over the top there.
But I've been feeling better though, drinking more water. Is there any correlation to that?
Now, water is good up to about 3 liters a day. If you drink more than 3 liters, that's about 3/4 of a gallon a day. Mm. You get overhydrated and you might actually get nauseous.
Oh, I know that. You know, I worked with a radio person where they did this competition where they made, they were giving away a Nintendo. It was a Nintendo Wii for Wii. And they had to keep drinking water. And the last person to have to go urinate in the bathroom. One of the contestants died. They died from drinking too much water, and I didn't even know that was even possible.
Yeah, Paracelsus said 2,000 years ago, the dosage makes the poison. It's really true.
Yeah.
And yes, we need water. Water is essential for life. All other fluids count to the fluid intake, but that said, if you drink a lot of sugary fluids, sodas, fluids that contain artificial sweeteners or additives, they change your gut flora. Mm. And when the gut flora dies, your brain suffers.
I was reading something. So you got dopamine and then you got serotonin, correct? Okay.
About 100 others or 200 others, many, many others.
Well, I'm just using those two main ones. Dopamine, though, is the short-lived instant gratification type stuff, correct? Like when you take a drug.
Only in the nucleus accumbens, yes. It works differently in different parts of the brain. Dopamine is also the part of the brain that gives you attention and focus.
Maybe that's why the Adderall worked for me so well sometimes.
Absolutely.
But serotonin, they said dopamine only hit like 3 different receptors. They were shorter lived, but serotonin reached a larger part of the body and was more beneficial.
Well, you know, I don't believe all that stuff. I am old enough. I'm 61 now. I've seen so many changes in science. We just start to scratch the surface of neuroscience. Mm. We don't know nothing about how the brain works. We have to put a lot of humility in our scientists and tell them, people, you don't know nothing. Admit to it. You study a little leaf on a big tree, and you have no idea how the little tree or how the whole tree looks.
Will we ever completely understand the brain?
Oh, no, I don't think so. There's actually a good science fiction that wrote about that computer can never understand a computer, and a brain can never understand itself.
No, because... I don't have anything against religion, and so I'm just not a mm-hmm. religious person.
Oh yeah.
But like, you know, everybody says, "Oh, you know, you are your soul and stuff." And I don't like. Are we our minds? You know, like is our identity who we are is our mind. Our nervous
system. That's a really good question. You know what? I think it's a little bit like a radio. Our brain is the hardware and the mind is the software. And then there's something that we can't see, but it's still there. And it's like the radio waves. And that's what the spirituality or the energy of God is, that the religions try to describe in the different kinds of religions. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. No, so I was talking about my self-medication. Big thing was alcohol. It was like drinking. Were you ever self-medicating?
Yeah, I was self-medicating with sweets.
Chocolate. Oh, you were? Chocolate.
Oh, absolutely. I was fat. I was 15 pounds at my highest. Because chocolate hits the nucleus accumbens with dopamine just as alcohol, and it's genetically determined whether you like alcohol better, chocolate better, cigarette better, or you want marijuana.
I'll be upfront. Like, I still smoke weed. I mean, I, you know, got my medical and stuff, and I smoke, and I think it's been more beneficial to me than the mood stabilizing drugs they have me put on.
I agree with that completely, since weed is a natural substance. But still, you can see when you do brain scans under weed, it depresses the limbic system, the anxiety centers. That's how it works. It makes you calmer. makes you feel less anxious, less depressed. But on the other hand, on the long run, it also kills your motivation, especially if you take too much. And for young people, it can trigger psychosis.
Like I'm sure it can, but like when you're on Adderall and marijuana at the same time, I got to tell you, that whole thing of not having ambition goes out the window. You get the best of both worlds.
You artificially push it back up. You can do that.
So it was the sweet. I mean, but Germany's known for their chocolates, aren't they?
Chocolate cake
and their beer. Good, like they got the German beer.
The marzipan cake was my favorite.
My mom used to make German chocolate cake all the time. I don't even know if German chocolate cake is even German. Like, dude, I mean, is it? Like, did German chocolate cake come from Germany?
I think, but from Germany, what the typical thing is for cakes is the many-layer cake, and it's a round cake. Not a pie cake, but a typical what we call cake. And it has several layers. So a Black Forest cake is typical German. Black Forest chocolate cake, yes, it is German. A marzipan cake is even better.
How is Oktoberfest in Germany? That's got to be a big... big thing, right?
Oh, yes. Lots of beer. You have a big stein. It's a liter of beer, so it's about a quarter gallon.
Yeah.
A good kind. It's a lot of beer. You have that in one glass, and you drink, some people drink 12 steins of beer, 12 liters.
Man.
About 3 gallons.
that's a lot. You're a big football fan? I mean, being from Germany, I mean, you kind of got to be into soccer, football type thing.
I used to watch it. Not football in Germany, they call it Fußball, but it's
Fußball.
Really what in America called soccer.
Yeah. I know. I just gotta mention the soccer because my American audience wouldn't know what the hell I'm talking about when I say that. So Dr. Christine, I really enjoyed this interview and I would like to start having you on as a regular guest maybe once a month, just to chat and everything, and maybe we can talk some stories about mental health. Sure. I would like to get into, you know, all the mass shootings and stuff we're having here in the United States. Because you're never going to be able to get rid of the guns here in this country. It's just not going to happen. And
you know, if you got rid of the guns, you would still have killings.
Oh yeah, you would. You would. But like, I would like to talk a little bit about that, like what can we do from the mental issue side, mental health side, to give some tools to be able to kind of talk about this a little bit more, because there is a stigma here in the United States when it comes about mental health.
Yeah, it's a very interesting and many faceted issues. And the research is actually not out there yet. And there's indicators that some of the teens that end up shooting people have just been put on antidepressants, which are known to cause suicides and homicides as a side effect.
I would like to talk about this. Is this a case of the pharmaceutical companies just getting greedy? Are they getting greedy? And that's why these doctors... Come on, we all know that these doctors get bonuses if they push prescription more than another.
When I was working as a physician in Germany, we got wonderful trips, God, we got all kinds of goodies just from the front. They didn't force us to prescribe their drugs, but of course there's reciprocity. When you get a nice trip paid, well, you give them drugs.
Yeah, so of course. And are we just over-medicating because of this? Is it just it's just a circle going around and around, like, all right, you write more, wink, wink, you know, you might get this, you might get that.
I agree. I think it is a big problem nowadays. I'm not against pharmaceuticals when they are indicated and really valuable. They are such, but it's certainly corporate greed taking over big time.
All right. Hey, Dr. Christine, tell my audience how they can check out your website, find you anywhere, and the floor is yours to be able to promote yourself.
Thank you so much. Just head over to docchristine.com, docchristine.com. And when you head to the website, there's a few interesting blog posts. Click on them. You get a free gratitude journal. You can listen to my podcast, Sparkles for Mental Health. Love sparkles. And of course, you can find other resources there.
Well, Dr. Christine, I appreciated this. And we'll be in touch because I want to have you on again, okay?
Sure, Tadler. It was fun. Thank you so much.
All right.
Up for anything.
All right. Take care. Have a great night.
You too.
All right, guys. I'm going to get out of here. Hopefully you enjoyed tonight's show. Hopefully you guys stay safe. And I will talk to you tomorrow.